feeling very confident about our chances. Otherwise, why go?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this isn't for sightseeing and drinking wine. This is business trip.
Exactly.
Welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast, the show for eventing fans by eventing fans.
And Karen, we love Cowboy Magic. We talk about it all the time. What are we highlighting this week, Karen?
This week we are highlighting Cowboy Magic's Super Body Shine.
I love the Super Body Shine game.
Right, and it's formulated to give hair a super shine, and it helps repel show ring dust and dries fast.
Yep, and it helps repel the dust and dirt. So, you know, before you put your horse out, it's not just about the show ring. It's about helping to kind of, let's alleviate these stains from getting in there. Right, Karen?
Right. It reduces your number of trips to the wash rack as well. So in wintertime, that's very important.
Yep, for sure, for sure. So thank you very much, Cowboy Magic. It's available in 16 ounce, 32 ounce, and a 4 gallon can. So, you know, when you got that big barn, you're going through this. So you need the gallon.
Oh, yeah.
Go straight to the gallon.
So. Right.
Little goes a long way, but you're going to want to use this all the time. So thank you very much, Cowboy Magic. Triple Crown Feed.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Triple Crown. Big fans of Triple Crown Feed. They have tons of great products out there. Mm-hmm. Premium stuff. Karen, what do you got to say over there?
So Triple Crown has formulas that are tailored to your horse's unique needs and help support immunity and gut health. Find your local Triple Crown Feed dealer by going to triplecrownfeed.com.
TripleCrownFeed.com. That's a little bit of a tongue twister.
TripleCrownFeed.com.
They have a great feed locator. They have a great feed comparison tool on their website. I encourage everyone to get over there. Check out Triple Crown Feed's website. Check out the different products. Check out what makes them so special. And give them a shot, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Support the people to support the show. Fairfax and Favor is even good for guys like me, Karen, who are shopping. So what's really cool is they have color collections. So they have matching handbags and accessories that go with shoes, all different types of shoes. So for a guy like me who's shopping, it's very simple for me to match up what you have. So your birthday's coming up soon. Just kind of curious if there's some favorite color that you like.
Oh, yeah. I'm obsessed with their mango and cornflower collection right now. Yes, perfect for the summer season.
Yeah, so mangoes kind of looks like a mango color.
Mm-hmm.
Cornflowers like a baby blue.
Yes.
Super, super cute. And they come with, they have shoes and accessories in all these different colors. So it's very easy to match. And you know, for a guy like me who's not very good at that.
Right. And they also have the trainer with the mango and cornflower stripes.
Yeah, well, that's very cool. So that way, just think about it. You get the trainer with the two different color stripes and then...
Oh, two different purses.
Exactly.
Ooh, so a mango purse and a cornflower purse.
I'm getting myself in trouble.
You sure are.
So, Karen, if people want to check mango and cornflower out for themselves and the other great Fairfax and Favor products, where do they go?
All they have to do is go to fairfaxandfavor.com.
The Rain Turtle by Turtleneck, the best rain sheet on the market, Karen.
The best. It comes in a 1, 2, and a 3-piece with a 3-year waterproof warranty. And it has a full antibacterial lining.
Yeah, fantastic. Of course, they have the stretch panels. So, Karen, if people want to learn more, learn about the Rain Turtle, the sizing, how to measure your horse up for sizing, how do people learn more and purchase the Rain Turtle by Turtleneck?
Just go to turtleneck.biz.
Trish Scott's got us covered, and she can cover you. Trish is on with us to talk about equine mortality and medical coverages, which there's a lot of changes, Trish. So tell us what's going on in the industry right now, and how can you help people?
Yeah, there's a lot of changes going on the equine mortality and medical coverage right now. And I just wanted to put the word out there that we don't have to be afraid. Changes are coming, but I can certainly take care of, you know, whatever questions, concerns, you know, our vendors have. Right now, the biggest one is Great American is not offering any medical coverage to any renewals or new business. But and the thing is with our vendors, they're one of the top three rated horses for, for mortality. So it's a very unique breed of animal, very unique training. So we need to make sure that your policy is covered. I have access to some of the top rated carriers right now. They are all offering full mortality, medical, surgical, any coverage is needed for our ventures. Don't worry about it. Just give me a call. I'll be more than happy to walk through your current policy. and make sure that your renewal is covering your horse. Not a problem. Just give me a call. I'm always available. 484-319-8923.
All right.
All right. I'm Karen.
And I'm Rob. Karen, super excited for today's Major League Minute.
I know. I am too.
Today, we have on the great Robert Costello back
Robert,
on the show.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Hi guys again. Good to be back on with you.
This is, so for anyone who, the first time you were on was back in March 16th of 2020. Then March 10th of 21. So the first one was just about you. The second one was about the Carolina International, and you were on with Will again in October 22 on our Maryland Five Star compilation, which again, I think you were kind of in with Will.
Yeah, you were.
Third time. So this is your fourth time. I think that's a record, Karen.
Yeah, that first time, I remember it was, we still thought Carolina, it was March 16th, I think you said. Yep. And I think it was like the day before we had to pull the plug on Carolina that year. And that was like right before everything completely shut down. I think it was like on the 20th of March that everything shut down because of COVID. So I think we thought everything was going to be fine, but wasn't.
Yeah. Wow. That's right. And Robert played the piano for us.
Yes, he did.
That's our first and only guest to ever play the piano. That was fantastic.
You set the bar high.
You set the bar high.
That was fun.
We just got a thunderstorm rolled in, so I hope we don't lose Robert, Karen. So we're very excited.
I wish we were to get one.
is it bad down there? Are you down in the Carolinas?
Yeah, we've actually had the last month or so a ton of rain, which has been great, but it's gone a little bit dry again, which is not ideal, but at least down here, you know, with the sandy soil, it never gets crazy hard. Yeah. It's just, you know, if we would like to get some in the next few days, would be ideal.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, good. Hopefully.
But it's hot, and I'm not a heat person. I don't really like summer very much.
No. Good thing you're not a career that demands outdoor.
I wish it could just be October all the time.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. So hey, listen. We actually, this is our first time having you on since you took this interim eventing chef to keep team manager role. And we have talked to you. We actually ran into you just after that you were announced at Kentucky. And we wanted to give you a little bit of time to kind of just let the dust settle and get in. So now that time has passed a little bit and now we're into the thick of it, you've had a little time to get your feet wet. Tell us a little bit about, you know, getting up to speed in such a short amount of time with these World Games coming up.
Yeah, it's all happened so incredibly fast. I mean, and I think I said it at the time that these 6 months that I have kind of been hired on an interim basis, I knew that they were going to kind of fly by. It's been great. And you know, we are into the thick of it. And, but you know, the whole last few months have been really, really good. I think all the riders and have been very receptive to, you know, basically just having me in here for a short amount of time. But I know most of them for years. So, there wasn't a big transition period of getting to know people and getting to know their horses, because I've been around as a selector for a long time. So I knew all the riders, either, you know, from back in my competition days to all the way through now, doing this job. So, that's been great. We've had, lots of trips. We had a great trip to, badminton, went over to Lemulen for, in Germany. That was a great weekend. We had a mixed results at Aachen. I like to think about the good results, but I had COVID in the middle of all of that.
Oh, no.
Finally, I had kept myself healthy for all this time. And I, you know, this last little go around where it seems like everybody is getting it either again or getting it for the first time. And I finally succumbed to it, but just sick for a few days. Wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that's good. Now, and the position, the roles are new, you know, it's less of like the Eric Devander going around coaching everybody. This is a little bit more of a coordination. Could you explain your role? And then also Max Corcoran just came on board as the Eventing Elite Program team facilitator.
It's Facilitator, yes.
Facilitator.
And so, she does all of those things. I will, I'll comment on Max first. Like she, having her in that position, I didn't even know that that was going to happen when I came on, but I can't imagine doing this, the last few months without her. She has been so awesome in her job. And, you know, I don't think she knew 100% what that job was going to entail, when she came on. And I just told her, I said, like, let the physician kind of let, you know, tell you what's going to be necessary. And she's just taken on, the role, and it's been fantastic. We've had a lot of fun. I've known Max since she was a little kid. I taught her when she was, you know, riding ponies, and then she was my first kind of ever working student when she was still a teenager. And then she went off and, you know, had kind of a real job in Boston, and then worked for Jim Stamets, lovely gentleman from Hamilton, Massachusetts, and then for years and years with the O'Connor event team. So it's kind of cool that we've kind of found ourselves back doing the same thing kind of, or, you know, for the same purpose. And, that's been great. I have, so much respect for the women in the office, Gemma Stobbs, Christina Vaughn, Amber Braun, Allison Lloyd. They keep everything going on in every aspect, behind the scenes for the team. Just the support that I have for this job. It's still a lot of work, but they sure do make it a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Mm. So that's, you know, and the cool thing is you and Max have two separate kind of elite level perspectives. You know, she's mm-hmm. obviously been in the barns and done the, you know, she's gone everywhere from organizing events to obviously grooming at the highest level at the most high profile events. So she knows what it's going to take to keep the event grooms, you know, going smoothly and keep the horses going. And then obviously you have it from more of a rider's perspective of what it takes.
Yeah. It's just something as simple, not simple, but something like, you know, shipping these horses all over the place. I mean, when I was competing and competing internationally and going on big trips, like my horse just kind of went off with my groom, and I had no idea really how that all happened. But Max has been in the trenches doing that for so long. So she has been awesome to, you know, just one of the many things that she does is helping coordinate and facilitate the shipping of all these horses. And she knows the shipping agents, and she knows the people that drive the vans in Europe or the lorries in Europe. So that's just one small example of how she's been, an awesome person to have in this role. And yeah, she's great with the grooms. She is super when she needs to communicate with the owners. And yeah, she is a very valuable person for sure.
Very cool. Yeah, very cool. And as far as your role, are you basically coordinating the riders and their coaching? Like,
yes.
do you keep a tab with, do you talk with their coaches? Like how does that work now?
Yeah, I mostly talk with the riders, and you know, just things like, you know, them communicating their schedules, their training schedules, their galloping schedules, you know, who are they going to have for coaching at, you know, now that the team has been picked, who they're going to have for coaching at the world championships, you know, coordinating all of that. We're coordinating a couple of training camps. One before Great Meadow, and then we're organizing a training camp that's going to be for about 5 or 6 days in France on the way down to Brittany. The horses will fly into Liège in Brussels. I'm sorry, in Belgium, and then we'll ship the horses down about 5-6 hours to this incredible facility in Vittel, France. If you've ever heard or seen Vittel water, that is the very town from that water. And so we've coordinated that for the riders, and then the horses will ship on to Brittany from there. So there's a lot of logistical stuff that's going on right now. And, you know, everybody is going full steam, you know, making sure that every tiny little detail is seen to.
Gotcha. And so the team camp is, you're saying, before Great Meadow. Like, so is it going to be at Great Meadow, but like in a, like a private camp? Is that?
Yeah, we will have a private training kind of camp Tuesday. Probably be doing some kind of dressage exercise, or you know, whether it be test riding or having a kind of outside person kind of come in and just kind of give the riders a fresh perspective of where they are and how their training is going. It will not be riding lessons. It will not be someone coming in trying to, you know, change their life in one day. But those types of things have been very valuable in the past. So we'll be doing that on the Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, for the riders that, and the horses that it fits into their schedule, we'll be having a jump day. And again, it's very close to Great Meadow. So we want to make sure that everything kind of fits in with what the riders are doing. They know about it. And so hopefully they can coordinate their training for those days. But we have to be the program, you know, as it is now with, you know, decentralized coaching, we have to be flexible, but also make sure that everybody knows that this is a team. We are doing this as a team, and everybody will be involved in some respect. We're kind of feeling our way through, but the bottom line is that we have phenomenal horses, great riders, incredible owners, all the grooms. You know, we have such a great team set up that everybody's kind of going into this championship with lots and lots of confidence, I think.
Man, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it.
Now, you just mentioned the team, and I think this is going to be a very strong team. We have Will Coleman with Off the Record, Ariel Grodd with Lee Moore Master Plan, Lauren Nicholson with Vermiculous, Boyd Martin with Testerleg, Tammy Smith with My Bomb, and then Will Coleman, Direct Reserve with Don Dante, and then our traveling reserve is Philip Dutton with Z.
Big Phil.
So
right. Big Phil. And just so people understand, like, what a direct reserve is, that's different than an alternate. So Coleman has Off the Record as his first, you know, his team horse, and then should something happen to that horse, either on the trip or injury or whatever, Don Dante will automatically be slotted in his place. So that's different than an alternate. An alternate will come off the list, move from the alternate list onto the team if any other horses should need to be replaced. So So Coleman has both of his horses kind of in there for a shot, but Off the Record is going to be his first pick.
Wow. Mm. What a fantastic team.
It is.
I think that looks super strong. I tell you what, fantastic. I mean, I couldn't have done a better job myself.
I'll tell you guys, this is the first, I haven't been, I was a selector for 9 years. Obviously I am not this year. And the chairman of the selectors, Debbie Furness, I said, man, I picked a good year not to be a selector, because it was a bear of a selection this year. We have so much depth, so many strong combinations out there. There are so many strong combinations that were left off of the team. And it was not easy at all. Like, you know, oftentimes you can kind of guess like who the top three, you know, depending on whether it's an Olympics or world championships, you know, in an Olympics only three can go. So that's, you know, it kind of makes the selection maybe a little bit more obvious, but we're lucky enough to be able to send four team members plus one individual. So that's five horses. And there's a lot of competition for these slots this year. And I think the selectors did a really good job. It's a thankless job, that hundreds of hours of watching horses, pouring over records, watching video, sitting there and watching vet evaluations and, studying vet records. And there's so much that goes into it. Like, people see oftentimes the final list in the team and they, you know, and they wonder like, why not this person? What happened to that person? And you just have to appreciate like the huge amounts of information that the selectors have, to pour over to, you know, look through everything with a fine tooth comb to really pick who they think are the strongest combinations at this moment for this championship. So I think they did a really good job.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not, I'm sorry, Karen, but it's not, what's also very obvious is these are great teams. So on top of, you know, the great horse and rider combinations, you know, the Will Coleman's, Ariel Girl, you know, there's also each one of these teams has fantastic ownership behind it and horse management, the grooms behind them and everything like that. So wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. Like it's, you know, we absolutely could not do it without the generosity of the owners of these horses. And, you know, I hope that they know how appreciated they are. And, I know the riders appreciate them. I do. I actually know most of them and they're just a great group of people. They do this because they actually, when you see them at the events, they're just having a fun time. They just really enjoy, you know, no one's getting rich, you know, doing 3-day eventing, that's for sure. So you have to really just fundamentally enjoy the experience of owning event horses and going to the big events. And like, you know, and it's not often that we get to go to the big shows, and it's just it's a great experience for everyone. And I'm glad, you know, we had a great, for example, a trip to Badminton this year, and we had so many owners that were there, and we had a really fun kind of a cocktail party where we did kind of a virtual course walk, had a big, you know, big screen with all the jumps, and Ian Stark was there, and it was, you know, everybody just had the best time. At Kentucky this year, we had an owner's reception, which was super fun, and they're just a really great group of people. So that's just icing on the cake. And you know, all the grooms, I've gotten to meet, you know, every one of these grooms from one of these competitions, if not more, this spring and summer. And you know, we have probably the highest quality grooms I think in the world in this country, and really looking forward to working with the whole time as well.
Now, so with the WAG, it's a 4-person team and one individual. So what is going to be the process on selecting who's going to compete on the team versus the individual?
Right. So the selectors will, I believe that the plan is to get through Great Meadow, kind of see who's on form there. Hopefully they will all be on form. And I think that, you know, that decision will kind of be made really clearly in the selector's mind over that weekend. Any of these people, you know, could be on the team. There's no one that kind of sticks out as, oh yeah, they're going to be the individual this time around. I think that in itself is going to be a very hard selection, to choose who will be on the team and who will be that individual. You know, any of those guys, they're going to be so happy to be there and going to the world championships. And it's actually a world championship, not a WEG anymore. The WEG was when all of the disciplines were together. And I've had to correct myself like every other day, because I always refer to it as the WEG, but it's actually the world championships for Tony to share. So anyway,
totally guilty myself.
That decision will be made probably, you know, immediately following Great Meadow.
Oh wow! So we're gonna know soon.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting to know. Yeah. And those people are still fully supported. They're just not part of the team. I mean, they're still gonna be.
Yeah, I mean, they are in every single way part of the. I mean, because it's the squad, right? It's the squad of 6 actually. Philip being part of that as well, because he will travel to Europe. With the whole team. And it's like, that is, you know, it's a really strange position for Philip to be in, but I think, you know, I'm sure that he appreciates all the teams that he's been on, you know, when that reserve person has been, you know, either in Tokyo, you know, not being able to compete in Rio or in wherever the last Pan American Games were. You know, those are huge trips and huge commitments for the reserve rider to commit to. And but so he's just as an important part of this team as anyone else. And so the squad as a whole, that's everybody will always feel like they're a team member. It will just be, you know, that one individual whose score won't count towards the team, but you know, that's about it.
Gotcha. Hmm. Man. So you had, they had a test event. But before I get too far, it's going to be September 15th through the 18th, Protoni, Italy. You sent out a kind of a research, a reconnaissance crew to check out Protoni. And what type of feedback Correct. Did you get back from that? And what do you expect us to see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think I have never been to Protoni before, and I did not go to the test event because I think that was the same weekend as Bromont, and there was or Tryon, one of those two events. But either way, it has been a good opportunity to see a bunch of the riders that maybe I hadn't seen yet this year. So we sent the very capable Kim Severson and Lauren Nicholson to represent us over there to go and observe that competition. I think a lot of what they learned or things that we kind of know from that venue, that it's there has been a world championships there in the past, and it's very hilly. There's a couple of very steep, sharp hills and also declines on the course. It by the sound of it, those happen quite early. There's this this I guess a slide jump, you know, once they run to the top of the hill, there's a pretty gnarly combination that's going to be going back down that hill, that I think they've always used. That's, you know, kind of famous. You know, we know what the footing is going to be like. We know that the show jumping is going to be on the grass and not in the prepared footing where the dressage is going to be. We know things like, you know, cell phone service I heard is pretty sketchy. Wi-Fi is pretty sketchy. You know, there's going to be a lot of things to contend with, but you know, it's just little things like that we were able to, you know, kind of get a read on. And those guys came back with, you know, hundreds of photos and pages of notes, and so I think we'll have a really good feeling of what we're getting into before we even get there.
And does that report back about the hilly terrain, the show jumping on grass, do the selectors look into that with who they select as well, and the horses and
Oh, absolutely. I think, yes. I think, you know, you have to have the right type of horse, you know, or there's always going to be no two event horses are the same. So, you know, you're always going to have maybe horses that are better suited for a hilly track. And horses that maybe might have a couple of time penalties on, you know, on a track where the hills are so kind of demanding like that. So it's a real fine balancing act. But those, you know, those horses that are maybe a little tiny bit slower, those maybe are the horses that are much stronger in the dressage or are going to leave the show jumps up on the last day. So and that's what I'm talking about when the selectors, you know, just are pouring over records and, you know, looking at video and also just, you know, just the knowledge that they have in their brain from watching these horses compete for so long. So, you know, it's all thought out very carefully about, you know, the right mix of horses that they're going to need for this competition. Mm-hmm. Wow. That makes sense.
You gotta select. And that makes it also hard because you have all these great horses and people at home might be saying, well, why isn't this person on a team? That might be part of the reason.
Yeah. Oh, really? I haven't heard any, but
yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything like that.
You don't have to name names, but have you gotten any nasty phone calls or texts?
No names.
Just any hurt feelings.
Not nasty. Inquiring for sure. Some inquiring emails. Definitely, but everybody very respectful, and everybody has their favorites and I don't blame them. I mean, we want the people that we either support or just like are fans of or whatever to go, and not everybody can go, and someone, you know, there's going to be huge disappointment. That's just part of it. And I've been on both sides of it, man. Like I remember not getting selected for a world championship. And I was convinced I was going to be selected. I absolutely had no doubt in my mind. And I was left so far off that list. And I was, you know, just incredulous. I couldn't believe it. And then, you know, with a little bit of retrospect and years and, you know, go by and I'm, you know, thinking back on it, I was like, I had a horse that was phenomenal, but he was very, very difficult to, you know, to keep sound and to, frankly, you know, getting him through the jogs were always a little bit of a test, but we all, you know, we always did. And I think the vets finally were like, I don't think we can do this again. And so I wasn't put on the team and I was just, I was so mad. I'm pretty mild mannered and I didn't like have a tantrum or anything, but I just remember, you know, inwardly just being like, you know, I couldn't believe it. And, but you want riders that, you know, that get mad because you got to believe in yourself. And if you don't believe in yourself, then, you know, you probably wouldn't be doing this crazy sport. So, now everybody's been very, very cool, very understanding, you know, wishing the best for the team, but you know, you can still be bitterly disappointed and still be rooting for everybody else. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool.
That's good.
Yeah. Now, one thing I always get confused on for the world championships, exactly what level is it? Is it a 4-star or a 4-star and a 5-star mix? Like exactly what is it?
Yeah. So it is definitely designated as a 4-star long. They will be using the 5-star dressage test. Basically, you know, like the only real difference between a 4 and a 5-star, I may not be getting this exactly right. The width at 5-star can be greater. The length of the cross country courses can be greater. I think for a 4-star, I think it's going to be about a 10-minute course. I don't know exactly what the maximum time or distance is, but you could make, you know, you could make a 3-star if you designed it just right, you know, pretty close to a 4.5-star. So this will be a 4-star designation, but the riders are going absolutely expecting a 5-star test.
I mean, unlike the Olympics, it's probably a little higher caliber. You're not going to have quite as many of the countries that are not. Like at the Olympics, they're really striving for getting many, many horses, many, many flags up there. But
so. Yeah, I mean, there's a very limited amount of actual number of teams that can compete. And that's why, you know, this competition is so important as far as Olympic qualification, because there's only so many slots for countries at the Olympics. You know, at the World Championships, it's a little bit more of an open competition, but that means you get every country with their very, very best riders. I mean, I think the Olympics definitely has the shine of it being an Olympic Games, but a World Championship is a serious thing to win, like a serious, serious thing to win. So, it's going to be a pretty, pretty incredibly tough competition, but I think we're sending the best horses and riders we possibly can. And I'm feeling very confident about our chances. Otherwise, why go?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This isn't for sightseeing and drinking wine. This is business trip.
Exactly.
What's the Olympic qualifiers? How many teams can qualify through the World Championships?
Oh man, you're testing my,
that's a toughie.
I thought it was the top six.
I know that I think the top, I want to say the top five or six teams from the World Championships will qualify for the Olympics. And then the Pan Ams, I think maybe the top two from the Pan Ams. So, you know, the last couple of cycles we've had to rely on the Pan Ams for our qualification, and I would really love for that not to have to happen this year, to have that pressure, and I would love to be able to, even though, you know, I'm only doing this job for a short time, I think that the U.S. would love to be able to send a more of a developing type team to the Pan Ams, but you know, if we have to rely on that for Olympic qualification, we have to send, you know, who we have to send to get that done. But you know, I don't even want to have to think about that. We're going, you know, with full intention of qualifying for the Olympics and also bringing home a team medal.
Wow. So now you mentioned you're doing this just through the WEGs or through, the World Championships. Now, US Equestrians just posted the actual criteria, what the job entails. Like they've wrote out the technical advisor, chef to keep position, and that's posted now. So are you planning on applying for the permanent position, or are you pretty much okay with staying interim? And then after this, you're going to go get that beach house you always wanted, or
yeah, with all my millions of dollars that I've made. I feel like a politician, you know, that's like, are you going to run for this office? And like, oh, I'm not really interested in that right now. And so I will say this, like I love this job, and I think that it's a good position for me to be in, because I can go to the World Championships and, you know, see how it goes, and then like think back on the these several months and see if, you know, is that something that I want to do for, you know, it's a commitment. Like I feel like I would have to commit for at least 4 years, and likewise for the USCS. Like, you know, they have had the opportunity to see, you know, my management style, how I've done things, and, you know, they may think it's a great idea too for me to continue on. But I think both entities kind of have the chance. We've had the chance to kind of feel this whole thing out, and I think we have to have a letter of interest or something like that in by the 18th of August. I probably will put that in, but that's no commitment for anything. It's just to let them know that, yeah, you're thinking about, you know, maybe applying to get more seriously in the mix. So yeah, I'm going to sit back a little bit and just see how the rest of all this shakes out. And I'm sure the USCF is doing the same thing. So it's kind of good for everyone, I think, actually. And then we can get serious about, you know, what's going to happen next.
Yeah. So take care of the championships first, and then boom, from there.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
One thing at a time.
Maybe make it really obvious which way it should go, either way. but I am, we are going with every intention of doing our very best. And I keep saying, like, you know, if we're not talking about winning medals, like, what are we talking about? You know, I think it's just not, it's not worth saying, like, you know, we're on a 4 or 6 year building cycle. That's ridiculous. We're the United States, and we have great horses and riders. We're not, we're not some developing, you know, nation of this sport. We should absolutely go with every intention of being just as competitive as anyone else. And, you know, are we as strong as Germany and Great Britain right now? No, but are we close? We're getting there. And are we as close as any other country? I would say absolutely. As strong as any other country, I would say yes. So, I mean, we're going to go with that expectation and then just give it our best shot.
Yeah. Well, when we get the gold medals, you're definitely going to have to come back. I mean, once we win the whole thing, it's like, all right, you got to stay on.
Hell yeah.
And this will be the chance to show, you know, where we're at. Like, you know, obviously Olympics and other competitions, like, okay, Germany and Britain been ahead of us, but I think we have such a fantastic, strong team. I think it's just, I think we have a couple people on that team that definitely have a chip on their shoulder that they want to show out for sure. And I think that's good. I think a little chip on the shoulder is good. When you get there, do you think you're going to be, I mean, like, you're such a chill guy and I love you for that, but do you get a little bit like fired up at a competition of this level?
Oh, are you kidding? I am not that chill. I am absolutely not that chill. You should have seen me on cross country day at Aachen. Like it's great. I mean, I love it's you know, the best when you're in that kind of ultra competitive situation and mode. I was the same way when I was competing. Like I always felt like I was at my best at the biggest competitions. And I loved the pressure part of it. I don't know why I was like some kind of crazy person, but I think I always gave my best performances when the pressure was at the maximum level. And so it was kind of fun to feel that again, you know, in that, in that moment at Aachen, and it didn't all end up like we wanted it to. But you know, this is a whole another competition, a whole another group, and we're gonna just give it our best.
Yeah, heck yeah!
Can't wait.
Bobby's got the right attitude. He's got I love it. He's got fire. I know you like being called Robert, and I want to call you Robert, but I don't know. Bobby just rolls off the tongue so good.
It's so hard. Like I think we've talked about this before. I've pretty much succumbed or given up to the fact that it's Bobby. Like even when I got this job, it was like Bobby Costello has been hired. I was like, what? But that's, I mean, I guess that's the way I'm going to be known for the rest of my life, Bobby. And
I believe in calling people what they want to be.
For you aspiring parents out there, if you name your kid Robert, call him Robert. As much as I love Rob Bowersock.
Oh, and you really hate my son's name, Robbie.
Yeah, call your kid Robert. Oh, Robbie. God. Don't you have? Your son is Robbie, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. My junior is a Robbie. So
I said last time, like, oh, I hate that name. But I was like, I was thinking more of like when I was a kid, like the people that I knew that were called Rob and Robbie. And so that's the only kind of connection. But yeah, after that interview, I was like, oh, wait a minute. It's not only Rob, but there's Robbie. Yeah. So I just insulted everybody. And, it was great.
No, that's fine. Hey, I was even a Bert. I still have people in my family that actually refer to me as Bert too.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
You can always go by Bert.
That's actually pretty cool. I never even thought of that.
Oh, there we go. Bert Costello.
No.
It's cool for me, not for Robert.
Oh, God. I've just completely put my foot in it. Oh, God. Great.
That's why we love you so much. Listen, it's always so fun to chat with you because you're so chill. So, Karen, we got one little bit of piece of business.
We're going to play. Well, it's actually, we're going to call it quick fire question.
Quick fire question.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be one question.
So the whole grade relies on one answer.
Yes. And it's brought to you by Turtleneck. Keep your horse dry from the rain with the rain turtle by going to turtleneck.biz. All right. This is probably going to be a tough question, though.
So wait. Do I have, is this like a one word answer or like a one sentence answer or what?
I guess
wait for the
however question. You want to answer it, but just wait. Yeah. One word. It's just, but it's only one question.
Yeah. So. It's only one question. All right.
Got it.
Which one of the team members' horses would you like to take the ride on?
Oh, great. This is a great, I'm not going to get into any kind of trouble for this. I'm looking at the, probably my bomb and just do a dressage test on him. Cause I think he would make me feel like I could, that I was good in that phase. And that was always the toughest phase on for me. So like, you probably would pick a different horse for each phase, but I'm not going to get mired into that. I would just say, do a little test on my bomb and make me look real good.
Yeah.
There we go.
Definitely. Right. Yeah.
There we go. Ken.
There you go.
I know Liam more master plan the most because I've helped Ariel with that horse kind of privately for years since he was 5 years old. I wouldn't ride him because she makes him look really easy. He is very, he's tough in that. Like he has so much energy and so like he's got all the tricks up his sleeve, but he's just a freak of a talent. But, but she is 100% responsible for that horse's, educate. Like she's just done such a great job with him, but he's not as easy as she makes him look sometimes.
Wow. That's the thing. These top riders, they just,
they make it look easy.
Everyone thinks, oh, they got this wonderful. No, these riders are, these riders are fantastic. Excellent job.
Excellent job. Yeah.
You got applause.
My bombs definitely would be my pick for dressage.
For sure.
Even those Cesar Leg and Vermiculus, that's more my size. They're on the smaller.
That would be a good ride for you. He's such a good boy. God, he was so good at Lemuelin. He's going to be awesome at Bretoni. I just know it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, can't wait.
I heard it in his voice right there, Karen. He's like,
we got it.
We got this.
Well, good. Will we see you guys at Great Meadow?
Yeah, I think we're gonna try to be there.
We're gonna try to get there.
We always try to get there. So, yeah. will the team? So, the team's gonna have a little training camp before, and then will all the team members compete as well? And is that the plan?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Definitely. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and unlike last year, this is going to be open to the public. It's going to be the regular event, so people will be able to come by and see the team in person.
It's all going to be part of, the team riders will just be all in the big four-star short competition, which I actually like. I think every time that we've done one of those kind of one-off competitions, they're hard, you know, like they doesn't have the same feeling. And we could, you know, last year with COVID as well, you know, couldn't be the big crowds anyway. But I just think it's good for the horses to have to be in that atmosphere with people, with other horses around, running into them in the warm up, and, you know, and it has to be, you know, it has to be a pressure, you know, competitions are in themselves like a pressure situation. And I think it will be good for the riders and the horses to feel a little bit of that one more time before, you know, the final trek.
Yeah. I think what would be a good idea, this is going to be the last time people are going to be able to publicly see the team. I think people just need to show out, bring their Team USA stuff, bring the flags, bring the GO team, show the team support. I think that would be really cool.
I think so too. It would be. Yeah.
I think it'd be great.
Make your homemade signs.
Yeah. Get and they do a great sign. Great Meadow does a super. We've done actually the team mandatory outing there several times now. Mm-hmm. And they have always done such a great job in Middleburg, the Plains. That area always comes out. They're a knowledgeable, you know, community of horse people, and it's a great place to have this competition. And David O'Connor, the whole group at Great Meadow, we're lucky to be able to do it there for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great place to overnight too. They have wonderful, like the whole, hotels are not too far. It's a beautiful area, nice restaurants. So definitely don't want to miss that. So yeah. See the team off. So yeah. Karen, was this fantastic?
It is great. Can't wait.
Robert, we appreciate you so much for coming on and carving out all this time. We know it's a super busy time for you. So we can't wait to see what you and the team can do. We're wishing you all the best, and we know you're just going to do a fantastic job.
Thank you guys. I really appreciate it.
Please like and follow Major League Eventing on Facebook and Instagram, and join the Major League Eventers group on Facebook.